before we get started. You know, we try to provide a lot of content here, a lot of opportunities for people to get involved in synagogue life, in congregational life. So I just encourage each and every one of you to take advantage of things, really maybe even pray about what to get involved in, because there's several things going on usually in the afternoon after service at the same time, and it's difficult. But, you know, we have this Talmidim class that's going on, and it's going so well. It's so well attended. We have the Torah for Today live classes that are still happening, and they're very well attended. And I just want to give a quick little plug for the Torah for Today virtual, the online on Zoom. For those of you watching out there, you know, a way that you can get involved in synagogue life here, even though you're not physically here, is to join in with us on Zoom. And we have a very interactive Torah for Today time where we go through, just like we do here live, but I run it and usually, and we go through the scriptures. So I want to encourage you, if you're out there watching us on the live stream, to tune in onto the Zoom, participate with us, be part of our synagogue life, and this is a great way that you can do that. So just a note of encouragement to you out there. Now, let's get into the Word today. Let's study. You know, a lot of times, a lot of weeks, we read the Torah portion and it's exciting, right? There's like seas parting. There's plagues going on. There's crazy stuff happening. It's like riveting. It's like an action movie sometimes. And then you get to Tazriah Metzorah and it's a little less exciting, right? But we could still learn a lot from it. So bear with me today. And listen, let's dig in, because when we dig in deeper, I think we will find some things that I think we can apply to our lives. So don't let the various skin ailments keep you from the Word today. I know it's tough. Why does the Bible sometimes go into excruciating detail about things like this? Why is it so important? Well, there's always a reason or reasons. There's always a meaning or meanings. To understand what we've got here in Leviticus 12 through 15, which is the double portion, which pretty much all concerns clean and unclean skin ailments and things like that, we need to go back some chapters for context. How did we get here to talking all about this in great detail? The first several chapters of Leviticus, if you'll remember, talk about the five different types of sacrificial offerings. You know, you had the olah, the offering, the sin offering, the grain offering, all these offerings that God lays out in very exacting detail, the first several chapters of Leviticus. These are the offerings that Israel was to bring before the Lord. Now, chapter 8, we see that the priests, Aaron and his sons, that line of the tribe of Levi, they are the ones to bring those sacrifices before the Lord on behalf of the people. Big task that they had to make atonement for the sins of the people. Then we go to chapter 9, which shows us the right way that the priests are supposed to bring those sacrifices to the people. Then we go to chapter 10, talked about this last week, which is the wrong way the priests are supposed to bring the sacrifices for the people. Now, the priests had to live a holy life. They had to be completely consecrated. We've gone through all that. It's very detailed how they had to live their life. They had to give up things. They had to sacrifice things to be a priest before the Lord, to offer these sacrifices before Adonai in his presence. But what happens next is a shift of focus, and I don't want us to miss this. The Lord takes the focus off of the priests and even the sacrifices for a time, and he shifts the focus on the people. This is very important. The children of Israel. He shifts the focus to the leaders of the tribes. He shifts the focus to children, even to the water carriers, to the foreigner, basically every single member of that mixed multitude that was there encamped in the wilderness with the tabernacle in the middle. So the focus is very much shifted to the priests, to the people. The theme now, going forward, is that everyone has a responsibility to be holy. Not just the priests, but even the children. Everybody in that community had a responsibility to be holy. Everyone had the task of living their lives according to God's standard. We can't just pawn it off, even today, and say, well, the rabbi has to live a holy life because he's the rabbi, or the people that are up here have to live a godly life because they're, you know, doing all these things for the Lord. Well, you, every single one of us, children, adults, everybody, we have a responsibility to be holy, to live our lives in a holy way before the Lord, of being clean, so to speak, before the Lord. Because, again, chapters 11 through 15 are all chapters about cleanliness or being clean, clean and unclean. Then we get to chapter 11, end of last week's portion, clean and unclean food, right? What to eat, what not to eat for Israel. Then chapter 12, first part of our portion today. What does it talk about? Concerns how to purify yourself and be clean after childbirth for women. And what I want to focus on today is the rest of the portion, chapters 13 through 15. Basically, all three of those chapters, laws concerning skin diseases that individuals may have. It sounds gross. It sounds gross. It sounds not exciting, but what does it do? It shows how every single person in the nation of Israel has a responsibility to be clean before the Lord. This is the key. The skin ailments we're talking about here, what we're going to be talking about in a minute, were physical. They were physical ailments that the people of Israel got from time to time. They were physical ailments, but they uncovered a deeper spiritual ailment that was going on with the person. That spiritual ailment threatened to isolate any member of the community of Israel from fellowship with God and from fellowship with the community for holy living, unless each one of those people dealt properly with the spiritual issue that they had in front of them. We've got to learn from this today, because you and I have all these spiritual issues. Sometimes that manifests as physical, but a lot of times it may not. And unless you and I properly deal with these physical or spiritual issues, we won't fulfill our task, our responsibility of being holy and clean before the Lord. So, with that, let's turn to Leviticus 13. The beginning of Leviticus 13, verses 1 and 2, we'll start there. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priests." Okay. Very detailed accounts continue then in those three chapters about how to deal with various skin diseases. Now, in your Bible, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have some of the words that I just read, which is laws about leprosy. Something, everybody have leprosy in their Bibles? Almost everybody? The word leprosy, it's in pretty much all the English Bibles. The word in Hebrew is tzara'at, tzara'at, and it does not mean leprosy. So it's a misnomer. Every time you see leprosy, it's not leprosy, or what we know as, you know, Hansen's disease or leprosy today. It's been translated as leprosy into the English for hundreds of years, but it is absolutely not leprosy that we're talking about. The symptoms are totally different. Tzara'at is a physical manifestation of a spiritual problem that was going on in ancient Israel. When someone was spiritually unclean, when they had a spiritual issue in their lives that went unattended, it would be manifested physically as tzara'at. That's not explicitly stated in the Bible. So if you go through the chapters, don't come up to me afterwards and say, "Rabbi, it doesn't say that in the Bible." Well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. However, we know from history, we know from context, we know from records and different traditions that have been brought forward that this was tzara'at. This has a spiritual, deep meaning and component, virtually universal in Jewish commentary and Jewish understanding and Jewish tradition, that this is what we're talking about here at tzara'at. All the tradition, rabbinical sources are telling us that this is what it is. And they say there's seven main causes of tzara'at. Are you ready for the seven causes of tzara'at? We've got some of the big ones in here: murder, adultery, pride, theft, stinginess, a vain oath, and last but of course not least, Lashon Hara. If you don't know what Lashon Hara is, it's basically evil speech. Evil speech. It means talking bad about someone. And the thing about Lashon Hara is it's talking bad about someone, whether that is true or not. That's still Lashon Hara. In Judaism, we have a lot to say about Lashon Hara. We talk about it, you know, during the high holidays. We have the Alchet prayers. We talk about it then. Gossiping, tale-bearing, all these things. This is Lashon Hara. Now, that was seven things. I think most of us can say we're not murderers, so we got that one checked off, right? That's not one of the ones for us. And, you know, a lot of you can say, I've never stolen anything. Maybe when you were a kid, who knows. But, you know, I've never stolen anything, or I have not stolen anything. Maybe, so you got that one checked off. Maybe even you're a very generous person. You're not very stingy at all. Okay, some people can be stingy. But many of us, most of us, are generous with our time, with our money, with our care for people. So, okay, we can maybe check that off. But we've got to be careful about things like pride, don't we? Pride is a big one. Vain oaths can be a big one, and especially Lashon Hara. Turn with me to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. If the Bible is talking about something to us, chances are we have a tendency to go through it quite a bit. It can easily creep into our lives, that Lashon Hara. Ephesians chapter 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as in Messiah God forgave, as God and Messiah forgave you. Now, I just want to say here, context, you know, this doesn't give everybody license to just be nice to everybody all the time, no matter what's going on, because sometimes the Lord may have you say a word to someone, and it's not a word of encouragement. It may be a word from the Lord that, you know, they need to change something in their lives. You got to be careful when you give that word, but that's not Lashon Hara. That's not speaking into somebody's life in love, even if it's something they might not want to hear, is not Lashon Hara. So let's not just say, well, if you don't act nicely to me and say everything nice to me all the time, oh, it's Lashon Hara, or the other one is judge not, you know. That's not what we're talking about. That's out of context here, because there are times when the Lord speaks to us through people and we need to hear it, maybe from donkeys, you know, donkey-type people in our lives, so to speak, right? However, to paraphrase this set of verses, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. We have to be very careful in our lives to watch not only our actions, but our thoughts and our speech. It's so easy to let that get away from us, is it not? And, you know, we can't blame any of that on others. And when we react to things, a lot of times it's like a visceral reaction, or it's just we react. But we can't blame that on other people. We can't even say the devil made me do it, right? Because we have the power to control ourselves. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, right? We can't just say, well, so-and-so got me so mad, I had to let him have it. Or so-and-so just got me so mad that I lost control. That's not what we need to be doing. Because point number one this morning, we, and only we, absolutely are responsible to be clean before God. We can't just say, well, so-and-so made me unclean because they got me so, you know, upset. Or I, you know, they took me out of the spirit into the flesh. We have to be careful, because we have the power to let that in and let that control us, or to say, nope, I'm not going to let that ruin me. I'm not going to let that come in. I am responsible for my own life before the Lord and no one else. The children of Israel had to be very careful to be holy unto the Lord. they had a responsibility to be holy. Again, it's not just the priests, it's not just the leaders, it's every person in that community had a responsibility to be holy. Why? Because God was in their midst. Turn to Numbers 35, 34. This is a huge point because in ancient Israel, the only place at that point where God was coming down to earth, coming down and descending, was there in their midst, in the middle of that community, in the tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, when he would come down and meet with the high priest. So God was there with them. Numbers 35, 34. You shall not defile the land in which you live, in the midst of which I dwell. For I, the Lord, dwell in the midst of the people of Israel. God was with the people, like physically with them. And even if at all times he wasn't coming down, you know, with the Shekinah, he was with them. He was in their midst. And guess what? Today, God is in our midst. He is with us today. He's not some far-off God that likes to visit, you know, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? He is a God that is with us every single day. He is in our midst. And you know what? We have a responsibility to be clean before the Lord, who is in our midst. This is something we should strive for every day. Turn to Psalm 51. You know, there are some psalms that are just so personal. There are some psalms that, oh, God is so great. We talk about that a lot. We sing about that a lot. But God is also a very personal God who is in your midst. He's in your houses. He's here in the sanctuary. He is with us. And Psalm 51 says, and this is a psalm of David again, create in me, God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Why does David say that? Because sometimes we can get unclean by the speech, by the thoughts, by the actions we have. And you could be a holy and righteous person, but there are times when we veer off. There are times when we can get unclean, so to speak. And so David had those times. And so he says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Being clean before God is constantly coming before him and asking for forgiveness, renewing our minds by being in the Word, thinking on good things, being around other believers, other people of faith to encourage us in our walk. I'm not saying you got to be around believers all the time, but there comes a point where you got to get filled back up. There comes a point where you've got to come in and fellowship. You've got to, you know, tune in to God and tune in to the community. These are the points where we can get encouraged and filled back up. And we've got to work through our issues, the things that are making us unclean. The real reality of it is many times we don't want to deal with the difficult things in our lives because we would rather focus our attention on the fun things in our life. Or maybe the fun things about being a believer. There's fun things. And there are times to do that. But this is the hard part. We need to work on the areas we fall short as well. We need to really think about the issues that we have. We need to be self-reflective. We can't just sweep our problems under the carpet and forget about them, hoping that they go away. The people of Israel could not do that. Why? Because if they did that long enough, they would get sara'at. Those things would manifest themselves. They could not run from it. If you don't deal with sara'at, it gets worse. Leviticus 13. Let's go to verses 9 through 11. Back to our text today. Leviticus 13, 9 through 11. Just a couple of verses about this. When a man is afflicted with a leprous disease, or we could say with sara'at, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall look. And if there is a white swelling in the skin that has turned the hair white, and there is raw flesh in the swelling, it is a chronic sara'at disease in the skin of his body, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. He shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. Now, that's just a little couple of verses, but the whole three chapters talk about this over and over. There's different manifestations of sara'at physically. They range from a little skin-deep spot that you may have, to the entire body being covered with sara'at. Now, at this point, someone is going to say, or think, maybe you're thinking, I read the Torah portions, Rabbi, And it says, when someone is covered completely with Sara'at, they're clean. So what do you think about that? That doesn't make sense. How can that be? Well, one of the commentaries wrote this about Sara'at. Essentially, Sara'at starts small. We know that through the scripture. And it can spread if you don't deal with it. For someone where it's spread on their entire body, this is what one commentary said. The person becomes totally morally corrupt. There is no amount of treatment. There is no amount of confinement that can help. They are too far gone. Think about Pharaoh for a minute. Do you think Pharaoh maybe had that Sara'at, so to speak, spiritually all over him? It could have maybe started small with Pharaoh. Let my people go the first time. But then it grew and it grew and it grew, and he hardened his heart. One of those seven sins of Sara'at is pride. The Pharaoh had that, didn't he? He was full of that. So more and more and more, the Sara'at grew, spiritually speaking. His heart became so hardened that he was so far gone that he would not turn and repent. God used that, obviously, to have these plagues happen against Israel, or against the Egyptians, and to miraculously bring Israel out. But the heart was so hardened that he was just not even listening. He turned, he closed off to God. He closed off even to listening and potentially changing. We've got to be careful that the Sara'at in our lives, with the things that we don't like to talk about, or even the things that we that are blatant in our life, we have to be careful that Sara'at doesn't take us over. That it gets so bad, that we're so hardened, that we're not listening to God. That we're not listening to reason, or we're listening to the scriptures. We have to be careful we don't get like that. Turn to Lamentations, the book of Lamentations. We don't quote that from that a lot, so I'll give you a couple of seconds to turn there. Lamentations 3:40. In the book of Lamentations, Israel is not in a good place. They're not in a good place. You could say they've got a lot of Sara'at going on in their life spiritually. What's going on in Lamentations? We think it was written by Jeremiah. Israel at this point is in exile. They're out of the land. They have been cast out of the land of Israel to Babylon. Why? Because of sin. It's universally accepted. The Bible specifically states they were expelled from the land. They were exiled. Our people were exiled because of sin. Sin that was left unchecked. Sin that had spread over all of them to the point where they closed their ears, they closed their eyes, they closed their heart from the Lord. And God said, you've got to leave the land. You cannot pollute the land. I dwell in your midst. You cannot pollute the land. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. You know, sometimes you just have lost it all. You're so far gone. But then you hear the voice of the Lord and you say, you know what? It's like I was just reading this week in my Bible readings about the prodigal son. You know the prodigal son story. He was so far gone. He was like in the pig pen, right? Feeding the pigs, wishing he could have the food that the pigs had. And what did he say? What am I doing? Let me go back to my father. Let me go back and just, you know, basically be treated like a slave. I don't care. Let me just go back. He came to his senses. Israel came to their senses at some point in that Exodus, that exile experience. And they said, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. No matter how good we are, or I'll say how bad we are, we all have areas to work on. We all have areas to test, to examine, where the spiritual Sara'at can grow if we're not careful. So that's point two today. We must, absolutely must, examine our lives for uncleanliness. I'm not saying you got to go around flogging yourself all day and, you know, praying nonstop. I'm just saying, let's be introspective. Let's be examining ourselves like the author of Lamentations says. Let's examine our lives for areas of uncleanliness that can creep up, small at first. So what does that look like practically for you and I today? We have to examine our actions, thoughts, speech, and really every situation we find ourselves in. Is the way that we're reacting, whether it's internally or externally, is the way that we're reacting to whatever, fill in the blank, Is it pleasing to God? Why did we react that way? It's not always easy or fun to do this, but this is how we root out the sara'at in our lives. You know, maybe later on you kind of do a little analysis, a little post-mortem, and you say, did I handle that situation with that person right? Did I handle myself right? You got to examine your life. But the other thing we need to do is we need to let God in to examine us as well. You know, we can tend to beat ourselves up, but then at some point we've got to bring God in with us and allow God to examine us too. Allow God to help us. Allow God to show us and walk through it with us because he wants to do that. But ultimately, allow God to change us for good. Psalm 139. Go to Psalm 139. I'm going to read a few different sections of verses in Psalm 139. Again, another personal psalm. Another personal psalm of David. We're going to read the first three verses first. O Lord, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3. O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Now listen, let's stop right there. You can fake it with everybody in this room, but you can't fake it with God. He sees it. You discern my thoughts from afar. Verse 3, you search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Now David was a pretty tough guy, but he had a sensitive side and he also had a teachable side, of a teachable heart before the Lord. Because nothing gets past God. We may think that we can fool everybody else, maybe. We can't fool God. He knows all of our warts. He knows all of our problems. And he knows all of our struggles and sins. But he loves us anyway. Drop down to verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. We've got to recognize it, we've got to give it up to God, and we've got to allow God to get the flashlight in there, expose it, deal with it, and move on. You know, we can't dwell on it too long. We've got to get going and get up and get to work. But that means allowing God to walk through these things with you, exposing them, examining them, and having them rooted out in our lives. Now, go back to Leviticus 13. Let's go back to the portion. Go to Leviticus 13, 23. But if the spot remains in one place and does not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Okay, let's focus on that for a minute. And there's so many other places that you can find in these three chapters where it says, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. We don't want to miss that. Was the person afflicted with sara'at? Yes. Okay, then the priest has to pronounce them clean. It was the priest that told them what to do. It was the priest that pronounced them unclean. And it was the priest that said that they were clean. Why the priest? We got to ask yourselves why, right? Why was it the priest to do this? You know, the priest was not a medical doctor. The priest did not have specialty in that. The priest was not a doctor. The priest was not even a leader of the tribes. He wasn't the person you go to for advice and all this stuff. So why was the priest the one that had the ability, authority, power, whatever you want to call it, to make you clean or to say, to pronounce you're clean before the Lord? Well, the priests were agents of God in a spiritual sense. They were the ones that ministered in the spiritual matters for Israel. The practical matters, the day-by-day matters is, you know, your leadership or whatever, you know, your household authority, all that good stuff. But the priests were the ones that dealt with the spiritual matters for Israel. And God had given them the decision-making authority for sara'at. Now I want you to turn to the book of Luke in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. And I want to look at a couple of scriptures. There's actually scriptures in some of the other synoptic gospels, but let's go to Luke 17, start with verse 11. We see the sara'at, and we see the interaction dealing with the priests, or it's referenced here in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke 17, starting with verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he, and this is Yeshua, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. So he was taking the road from Samaria and Galilee on the way to Judea, on the way to Jerusalem. And as he entered a village, some random village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And again, I'm going to stop right there. They weren't lepers. They were inflicted with Sara'at. Verse 13, and he lifted up their voices, saying, Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, verse 14, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Ooh, it's powerful. Show yourself to the priests. Now, Yeshua, being a Torah observant Jew, knew that the pronouncement of being clean was done by a priest. So to fulfill the law, to fulfill the instructions, to fulfill Torah, he was telling him, go and do what is prescribed in Tazriah Metzorah. Go to the priest who will then pronounce you clean. Now, go to Luke chapter 5. There's another story in the book of Luke about this. Similar. Luke 5, 12 through 14. While he, Yeshua again, was in one of the cities, there came a man full of Sara'at. And when he saw Yeshua, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Yeshua stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately the Sara'at left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. It says that in Tazriah Metzorah. It talks about bringing the offering in detail about that. So again, Yeshua is following the Torah here today, the Torah portions that we're reading this week. But there's really something more that we've got to see, is that Yeshua says, go to the priest, do what is required by the Torah. But Yeshua says to him, be clean, and he's healed. He's clean. But how can Yeshua do that? Only the priest can do that. Only the priest can pronounce you clean. Turn to Psalm 110, verse 4. In biblical prophecy, including Psalm 110, which is a highly prophetic psalm about the Messiah, in biblical prophecy, the Mashiach, the Messiah, is shown as a king, the son of David. But he's also shown as a priest in biblical prophecy. Psalm 110, 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So the first few verses of Psalm 110 are talking about the Davidic part of the Mashiach. And that's a whole other lesson, those verses there. But verse 4, you will be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who was Melchizedek? He was a priest of a place called Salem. Many think it was Jerusalem way back in Genesis. Abraham actually tithed to Melchizedek in, I think it's Genesis 14. The psalm is very messianic, talking about Messiah as Davidic king, but also as priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is interesting because it's a different order. It's even a higher order than just the Aaronic priests. And it talks all about that in the book of Hebrews. If you ever want to go through, I believe it's Hebrews 7 that talks all about that. But Psalm 110 is quoted in the book of Hebrews, attributing this to Yeshua, the great high priest that we have. And then after the discussion of the Melchizedek priesthood, it says this, Hebrews chapter 8. Go to Hebrews 8. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. This is a heavenly tent. This is heaven. This is Yeshua, the Messiah, king and priest. This is Yeshua, our high priest. There's so many scriptures, I don't even have time to go into it, that talk about Yeshua as priest. Don't take my word for it. Go into scripture and see it. But the point, and Hebrews is filled with a lot of that, but as well as in Tanakh references. But the point is, Yeshua is the high priest, and he's the one that pronounces us clean, who says to us, you are clean. Just as the priest could pronounce the person with Sara'at clean, Yeshua makes a pronouncement over you and I spiritually and says, you are clean. Point three this morning. Only our priest Yeshua can pronounce us clean. And that cleanliness is immediate. They didn't even have to wait until they went to the priest. They were already starting to clear up. They were already being healed. That cleansing from Yeshua is immediate. You don't have to get real holy. You don't have to spend tons of time studying. You don't have to have all this experience in the Lord, and then you're worthy to become clean. You are immediately cleansed. It doesn't mean you stay in your unholiness, thoughts, speech, actions. You start working through that, but Yeshua cleanses us. Yeshua is the one that advocates to God the Father for us. He is the connecting point. You know, he's the Jacob's ladder. He's the one that goes and advocates before the Father and says, I know that they were unclean. I took on their uncleanliness when he died for us on the cross, taking all of our sins on the tree. He redeemed us so that we can be clean before the Lord. Now go, last scripture verse today. Go to 1 John, not the book of John, 1 John, towards the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. There is so many scriptures that talk about Yeshua cleaning us. Yeshua taking the tzaraat out of us completely. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, tons of scriptures about that in Yeshua, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just some, not just the parts we want to talk about. He's ready to cleanse us from all tzara'at in our lives. You got some tzara'at in your life? Go to God. Go to him privately. Go to him publicly. Go to him and get that tzara'at out, because the question before us, are we clean? God is in our midst. God is in our midst today. Do we have tzara'at in our lives that we need to deal with? None of us is perfect. I'm certainly not perfect. All of us are a work in progress. Just when we think we nailed it, something happens, right? Rav Shaul, who I'm going to tell you, you know, in the Bible, it talks about people that are blameless before God. What that means is it's not that they don't sin, but it's they have right standing before God because they're living for God every single day. They are really focusing on God. Noah was a man who it says was righteous before God. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, it said was blameless and righteous before God in all of the ways of the Torah and the customs of the fathers, of the elders. He was totally with it. And he even says, the things that I don't want to do, I do. The things that I want to do, I don't do. He was struggling. So listen, if he's struggling, we struggle. Let's not deceive ourselves. We're all a work in progress. We're all dealing with tzara'at type issues in our lives. The question is, are we laying them before the feet of the Lord? Are we working through the areas in our life that need the cleansing? Because guess what? God wants us to be clean. He doesn't want us in chains. He doesn't want us with this weight of sin around us. And it's a process. You know, where I am today as a believer, I've been a believer for, it'll be 30 years this year. I mean, I'm in a better spot than I was 15 years ago, certainly 30 years ago. But I'm hoping, I'm praying that I'm in a better spot 10 years down the line. It's a constant process of sanctification in our lives. But we need to come to him. We need to take responsibility for our lives. We need to examine our lives for the uncleanliness. And we need to come to the Lord and ask Yeshua to cleanse us. So that is the point of the matter. This is, I think, what Tazria Metzora teaches us, is that we all have these things. Every single one of us can have it. But it's how we go about dealing with it, giving it up to God, that is what matters. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you because you're our great high priest, Yeshua. We thank you because we don't have to stay with the tzara'at. We don't have to let it fester. We don't have to let it grow and take over and harden us. We can become soft and teachable, Lord God. Lord, as we confess the tzara'at in our lives, even to you silently, any time of the day, as we bring these things to you, Lord God, I pray that you would just cast them away. even as far as the depths of the sea, like we do with Tashlich every year, Lord. We just pray that you would help us to see what these things are, help us to deal with it, walk with us through it, and then help us to cast it away and be clean in you. Lord, we want to be clean individually, as a community, and it's a process. But I pray for each and every person here watching us on the live stream, Lord, that you would speak to each and every person, from the least of us to the greatest, and we're all the least of us, Lord. We all are broken. And I pray that you would continue your process of restoration in us and your cleansing process in us. And I just want to pray for everyone. If there's someone here that maybe doesn't know you personally, Lord God, that you would speak to them, open their heart, help them to give their lives to you, repent of their sins, and start that process of coming close to you in the name of Yeshua. We thank you, God, and we just pray that you would encourage us, help us to encourage each other as we each go down that road and that journey of becoming more and more, becoming clean before you each and every day, renewing our hearts and minds, for asking for forgiveness, getting that forgiveness, and moving on for your glory and for your will. We thank you and we praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand. You know, sometimes God gives us light stuff and sometimes he gives us heavy things, right? But you know what? He's good all the time and he is there for us to cleanse us. As we go about our week, let's just be reminded that God is for us and not against us.